everyone. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart. Welcome to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we interview industry experts and chat with them about their passions and how they are leveraging real estate investing to create an impact in their world. What impact do you want to make?
Did you know there are almost 8 billion people on this planet? What if each of us started with ourselves, with our family, in our community? All we have to do is start with a manageable 1% action every day. The effect of those billions of 1% gestures would be astronomical. This is your place to reflect and believe. Join us every week to start cultivating those ideas on the impact that you want to make in your world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. I'm Susie.
And I'm Michael, and we're excited you joined us for this adventure.
So today's very special guest is Jared Ash. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, it's great to see you. And we're super excited because we met you like at the very, very beginning of our journey. So we've known each other for a while, and we met through networking at Brian Briscoe's meetup. And like, the power of networking is real, especially because of relationships like this. And just because of all of the people that you meet, right? I mean, Michael and I are all the way in England, and Jared is all the way in San Fran, Northern California. Correct. Yeah. And I was like, that distance, you don't get that if you don't put yourself out there to network. So please, please, please do it. You won't regret it.
Absolutely. Well, Jared, obviously we know a lot about you and in your background and like why you started investing in real estate, but would you mind sharing with our adventurous family about your background and why you started investing in real estate?
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I've been investing in real estate for 4 or 5 years, started building a single family portfolio in Memphis, Tennessee. And like many people, I had 3 properties and said, okay, this is great cash flow, but how do I, you know, go from $1,000 a month to like $5,000 or $10,000 a month? And I calculated it would be 17 and a half years at the rate I was able to buy till I got to my financial goal of in terms of cash flow, and focused on that. And that led me into this multifamily space. And about a year ago now, we formed Crown Capital, and there's 4 partners, and we've been pursuing the multifamily apartment space since, closing on 3 deals.
That's awesome. That's great. And I commend you for like having a goal, right? Like, you had a cash flow goal, you looked at it, and then you pursued that goal, but then you took a step back and you're like, okay, and how long is it actually going? The cash flow that I have for the single families is great and everything, but like, how long is it going to take? So a lot of people just chase after it and don't reanalyze along the way, right? So I commend you for like taking a step back and say, okay, at this rate, how long it took me to get 3 properties, how much longer is it going to take me to get to the cash flow goals that I want? And it's cool. It's cool that you had that that forethought and that discipline to do that.
Yeah, I have a good friend who was actually the best man at my wedding, and he started in real estate. He had a government job, but bought like a cheap property next door to him, and then just started working on it, and he made me work on it. And over the years, it's an area, he has 5 units in an area that has tremendous growth and level of economics, class change in that neighborhood. And he just sort of showed me how you can buy and hold properties and eventually, you know, becomes very profitable over time. But I wasn't getting the appreciation he was at that time with the neighborhood changing. And so, yeah, it made me really calculate the math and figure out how I can get here to my goals.
So I know that you like are like doing all of this, right? All of this real estate, but then you're also like working full time at the same time. So can you help just the audience know like what that is like for you?
So I've been working in the government affairs sort of lobbying space for 15, 20 years now. And actually about a year and a half ago, I left a national firm to start my own firm. And part of that was I was already doing some real estate stuff on the side. I was developing some other projects on the side. And I wanted the flexibility that it gave me to have my own firm versus working for other people. But I like the balance as a real estate investor, because the investors that I'm working with know that I don't have to do a deal to pay my next meal or make my next mortgage payment.
Right.
They know that I'm doing a deal because I truly believe in it. and that it's good, solid returns for both me and for my investors, which is the most important part of the process. So I like the balance of being able to do both, but I have other partners that bring in other strengths into Crown Capital.
I love that. Yeah, I think several things I like about that. And I think I see a lot of people who might be forced, you know, who people who go to do this full time, you know, they don't have any additional income, some passive income, like they're relying on that active income from taking down deals, getting acquisition fees, getting asset management fees and things like that. I mean, they have to close on deals, right? So it might, you know, when you're pushed up against the wall and you have to close a deal, maybe you start, I wouldn't say tweaking your numbers, but start tweaking your mind. Like, hey, I can actually do this. Let's do this. You know, start lowering your standards a little bit and forcing a deal, you know, a round peg in a square hole or a square peg in a round hole, whatever they say.
Thank goodness I knew. Yeah.
So that's what's nice for Susie and I. Like, Susie's full time now, but like, I have a income that supports us, and like, but we're not trying to make a deal work just to get a deal done, right? Like, we only did one deal this year because of that. Right. And it's good that, and you being in the position that you're in, you can do that as well. And that's great. And I think our investors know that. And I think your investors know that as well, which is really cool.
Right. And that's smart. If a deal doesn't work, pass it away. And we're talking, I did a deal in Macon, Georgia. And fortunately, we raised a lot of money from investors, and I had it in a separate fund. And something came up at the last minute, and I walked away from my other partners in that deal. And that was because my goal was to protect my investors and to protect their principal. And that was the foremost thing. And that deal could have gone on and made a lot of money, and the investors could have been very happy. I got worried. And as one investor said, your spidey senses tingled, and you pulled our money out, and they had no regrets that we did that. In fact, they've invested with me in another deal. And I would say 2/3 of those investors have invested in another deal with me because they just respected the fact that something went wrong. I wasn't going to allow a tweak to be made. It was different from what I said. And, you know, I want to hold my head up high on this.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even as a society, right, it's still really hard to fail, no matter like what industry you're in or anything. So like, not that you failed by any means, but like stepping back to some people like might feel like they failed themselves because they should have noticed from the beginning or whatever it is, right? But also lending and the environment that real estate is right now, like anything can change at any time, right? Like any deal could go poorly one day. So it is very awesome to do that because, I mean, even when you say no to a deal initially, when you underwrite it, it's the same thing. You just did it at a different time. Like it's really, really important to even get used to saying like, nope, this one doesn't work. Nope, this one doesn't work. Especially in an environment where we see everyone saying like, oh, we closed.
I left a message for a friend this morning. He's still getting 12% on 2 deals that he's working on. And it's like, how are you doing that? Like, I have not looked at a property that's anywhere near 12% cash on cash. And they have a model where they buy it in advance and then syndicate it afterwards. So they're able to get a lower interest rate that way than the rest of us. But yeah.
Interesting. I like that. I like the concept. So I want to talk about now, like, I know when we first met, you're kind of doing this solo, right? You're kind of going after trying to find deals, trying to kind of come together, you know, form the GP team for the specific deal as a solo, as Jaron. But now I know you've transitioned to kind of getting a team together with Crown. Can you explain to our listeners, like, you know, the struggles of going at it solo, and now even maybe the struggles of going at it as a team, but the benefits and, you know, maybe the pros and cons of both?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing with a team is you get everybody's joint skill sets, right? Whereas an individual, I was a little overwhelmed. You know, sure, I could raise the capital and I had the network and we could put together PowerPoint and I could join an asset management call, but was I really able to read through the financials alone and, you know, get out a newsletter based on those? I needed other people to help me do all of those so I could focus on where I'm strong, which is building relationships, meeting new investors, and then holding our property managers and other people on the ground accountable for those deals. And so working with a team has just given me so much more bandwidth. And I've learned so much from there's three other people, four of us in total. And I've learned so much from all of them. What are the hard parts? I think the hard parts are if two of us or three of us really like a deal and one of us doesn't, you know, does majority rule or what happens, right? And we're just getting used to that. Where is everybody really strong and where are they not? And one just simple example is every week we put out a book review. And so the first Friday of every month, I have to put one out. And I was like, oh, geez, I'm behind. I didn't even read one. And I made like some comment and somebody's like, well, you're up. And I like just the accountability of the team driving all of us towards these bigger goals. And I think our investors get so much more of that management, accountability, and all of the skill sets that we all bring. Tiffany's writing standard operating procedures to make things run more smoothly and things don't fall in the crack. Lupe's managing our social media and following up with the property managers on asset management. Noelle's job is to meet with the brokers and do underwriting. So we're all providing value adds to the whole team and just helping make sure our investors don't miss anything.
I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And it's even great to do that because so many people, right? They're like, well, this person's my friend and this person's my friend. So that's why I want to work together. But it's like, but we want to do the same exact things, you know, and those are also hard conversations to have. Like Michael and I have even had to have those conversations with each other, you know, like, hey, we're doing the same thing right now. Like, why are we doing that? And mm-hmm. So.
Right. Well, you both have different strengths, right? If I remember totally. Correctly, Michael, you tend to do the underwriting and the financial analysis. And Susie, you're out there
with the people
on the phone more, talking more, doing social media posts, right?
Yeah, it does help.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. I have a question. So, like, when Crown finds a property or whatever, like, I mean, are you kind of coming in, finding other operators right now, and then closing on deals as well? Like, are you coming in to support those operators to bring capital to the deal and your expertise to the deal as well? Or like, and then if you are you coming in together as the general partners, or are you bringing like a special purpose vehicle with your investors into the deal, or how is that? How are you organizing all that together?
Yeah, great. So a little bit of all the above. So we just closed a deal where we were brought in Louisville, where we were brought in by the GP team that needed help raising the capital. And we did that. We liked the deal. We liked the opportunity and we really liked the team and thought it was just a good opportunity to continue to learn and grow. And we thought it was a good deal for our investors. That same team brought us another deal right afterwards in a market we did not like. And we just said, you know what? This market doesn't meet any of our criteria and we're going to pass. And right now we're pursuing two deals where we would be the lead, one that we would do 100% by ourselves, and another one that we would probably bring in another person just because it's a large capital raise. And if we're looking at a $5 million capital raise, I felt like we could do 3 to 4, but we wanted to be backed up and make sure we weren't delayed in closing without all the investors in a row. And we brought in somebody, we're talking to a property management company that we would use, and them coming in and providing that extra GP. So we like their asset in multiple ways in the property.
Love that.
I do too. That's awesome. That's creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I guess before, you know, when you're going at the solo, were you looking at, you know, special purpose vehicles for funds, or were you just trying to join GP team, or how, what were you doing then?
Yeah, I did it as a special purpose vehicle, which is a fund for those of listening who don't know what that is. And what we did there, well, single purpose vehicle, I think, for one-off project funds.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I did that mostly to keep my investors, and to be able to work with them versus getting lost into a deal on a $7 million raise where you were going to have 10 GPs and other people were going to have access to their information. I think it was about keeping the investors' information confidential mm-hmm. from other people, from other solicitations. And it was about protecting their money in that deal in Macon. I talked about if I didn't have that set up, I wouldn't have had full control by myself over their money. So I like that. What we're playing with at Crown going forward is a model where we set up a fund of funds mm-hmm. where we could have our investors invest. They could do a specific deal with us. but we also have the opportunity. It gives us just a little bit more flexibility than a one-off project
like that. Would you mind? We haven't really talked too much about like these are funds on here. Would you mind elaborating a little bit more about like how your fund structure and kind of what that means for people who
I guess, and why you chose to do it besides like having more control.
Yeah, we're still going through that process of switching to the fund of funds. But you could, if you're a syndicator, you could check out a platform, Avestor. For the investors that are listening, what it is it's one OM that you have to sign and one login platform. So you never have to create a separate platform. You never have to go through multiple phases of paperwork that your lawyer and accountant have to review. What you will have to review is each time is, does this deal work for you based on the anticipated returns? But it's to streamline it for the investors going forward, but it also allows us to create other that we're pursuing past doing a direct individual deal. If we want to come in on somebody's deal late, if somebody can't close, but we have $500,000 in our fund and we can help them close the deal quickly, it may be able to leverage stronger returns than typical for our investors that way.
Absolutely. Yep. That's awesome. Yeah. Now I know you said, you know, you wanted to bring a fund to other deals that you were just, you know, raising capital and doing other things on the GP, of course, and bringing that fund to the deal in order to protect your investors and their privacy and ensuring that you have fiduciary responsibility and things like that. Yeah, that's why we use the platform that we use as well. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not a investor or a fund-to-fund type of model or anything like that, but like when we have co-GPs, the platform that we use, which is Syndication Pro, they allow us to bring on co-GPs and then they can bring all their investors into the same deal. They can see everything, but we can't, as the leads, can't see all the co-GPs investors and their information. We can see their name, but we have no access to them, which I think is a great benefit. And that's why I'm going with Syndication Pro on that. That's how I think.
So. Well, and that's a great feature, right? If you could keep that information confidential and you keep them close to you where you could be in charge of following up. And right, some of these deals are big. You need to bring in other GPs for net worth, for their experience to manage.
Absolutely. What do you think, you know, besides kind of going at it solo and then kind of moving into the team aspect of it and now crushing it, like what would you think was the hardest part? You know, what was the most difficult thing to get started for you in this multifamily industry?
Well, I spent probably a year learning about it before I actually did anything. And just started, like you talked about, networking with people across the globe, right? I think when I formed the team, I really hit the stride. And I'm grateful for meeting Tiffany and Noel and Lupe and Tiffany founded Crown Capital and brought me in. It just took the game to the next level. Jim Rohn has a famous quote saying, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And having good people around me to spend time with that you could learn from, that you could push each other to the next level. I was working by myself. I mean, I'm a self-driven guy, but like you just need people to help get you to that next level. And my partners do that.
I love that. That's awesome.
It is awesome and like really refreshing.
How's your partnership? Do you guys, you know, disagreements regularly or what?
You mean like with one another? Maybe. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I guess, you know, being husband and wife, team, it can have its challenges. You know, you have to say, okay, you know, am I acting as a business partner in this scenario or this discussion, or am I acting as your husband, right? Like, so like, you know,
we do a lot of like weekly powwows and it's like, hey, this is what might have frustrated me this week. Because then you don't build up on anything.
Yeah.
This week is a good week for Michael. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No, see, I was just kidding.
Yeah. I'm going to pal on. Sorry, Jared.
No, there was I'm drawing on it. There's a lookup State of the Union for couples. And it's something I'm going to find the author, John Gottman, who's famous for writing a lot of couples books.
That's cool.
Cool.
And he talks about a state of a union in one, and you could Google it and there's like instructions. So when you do your weekly powwow with your spouse and business partner in your case, it gives you some guidelines to follow.
That's cool.
Got it. Got the name written down.
He's like, she's going to follow the rules next week.
Laying down the law.
That's hilarious.
Jared, what's next for you? What do you envision in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, and what are you most excited about?
So those are two different questions. From a real estate standpoint, we're going to take down a couple of other deals. And we're really focused on driving cash flow for our investors and providing that. And looking really at deals that we can offer at, you know, quarterly versus one deal we have, I was talking to you about earlier, is a repositioned deal. And it's 18 months till they get the cash flow. So we really want to focus on that. And hopefully we'll just acquire, you know, 10, 20 deals in the next 3 to 5 years and make all of our investors a lot of money as well as ourselves, but build long-term relationships. I'm about building long-term friendships. So I appreciate the two of you for that. I appreciate my team for that. And then what's most important to me over that time is I have 3 daughters. They're now 8, 5, and 3. And I just want to see them continue to grow, continue to learn how to swim and ride their bikes and, you know, ski lessons in the near future. Those are the most important things to me. And that's why I do this stuff in real estate, is to really help build a future for them, as you know.
I love that.
I do too. Because it'll be cool watching them. I think I heard you incorrectly. I think I heard you say snowboard. No, I'm just kidding.
We need more skiers out there. Probably lost half our audience, but yeah.
So are you a skier and she's a boarder?
Yeah, I'm a boarder.
We both snowboard.
Yeah.
Oh, you both board. See, as a skier, I, you know, right, we're probably taking down investors. I like the fact that, like, you get off the lift and go, I got to wait for you. You got to push to the next hill. Buckle in again.
Excuses after excuses, you know? But then if we're zooming right by, straight down, it's fine.
Yeah, you know, I have yet to have a great experience with a skier, so one day.
All right, well, I'll meet you out on the mountain. I promise it'll be a fun experience.
Let's go to
Just Tahoe. Just don't run into me.
It's a happy hour.
Yeah. I like it.
We'll be in Tahoe in January, most likely, so.
Oh, let's do it. We'll meet up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
If anyone else wants to meet us, you're more than welcome to.
Absolutely.
Open invite.
Yeah, last weekend in January. Anyways,
all
right. We are getting towards the end of the show, which brings us to our adventurous 4. Speaking of adventure, these are 4 exploratory questions we ask all of our guests. Jared, are you ready to answer these questions?
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay. Roll. So, Jared, the first question we have for you today is, where is one place you wish to travel to and why?
I really would like to take a long extended trip, but I'd like to get over to Croatia and some of the surrounding countries there, like Budapest, you know, that area I would just like to explore. I'd also like to get over to, you know, some of Africa, to like Zimbabwe and Mount Kilimanjaro, and all of that sounds fun. As a dad of 3 girls, Disney World, next on the bucket list.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All the Disney princesses. Cool. So then
I can name all of them and tell you all their life stories.
I bet you could.
That is a skill you should put down your CV for sure.
That's awesome. So the second question is, what is one thing on your bucket list and how are you leveraging real estate investing to achieve it?
You know, I think one thing on my bucket list is just related to family. I want my kids to be able to do anything that they sort of want or explore anything. And if that just means horseback riding lessons or ski lessons and swim lessons or chorus camp and art class, you know, real estate is giving me that cash flow, is giving me the extra money on top of my income to and my day job to be able to provide those things for them. And so giving them those opportunities and having just more income, more cash flow allows me to do that. And that just makes me happy.
I love that too.
That's
very cool. Nice. Good answer. The third question we have for you, Jared, is what is one piece of advice you have for someone who wants to start passively investing in real estate?
Build a relationship with the people. The difference between investing passively in real estate versus share Facebook or Amazon is you could get to know them, right? Susie's available to talk to you anytime. Jared's available to talk to you anytime. Let us answer your questions. Don't be afraid to ask us questions if you don't understand something, if you want to know something in a newsletter that popped up, if you read an article about the area, that's what we're here to build a relationship with you. Get to know us and have us get to know you. And that's part of doing these deals versus any other stock that you could buy. Mark Zuckerberg's not calling you back.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, right? And like, even at that point, you don't get a lot of questions answered. And so you have no idea what the business plan is. You have no idea what their next move is. And it's important to know those things and like what the point is of even doing those things.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
So then our fourth and final question is, if you had unlimited resources available to you, how would you leave an impact?
You know, that was probably the toughest one listening to the podcast to find an answer to. I'm going to answer this in a way that I'm just very involved in my community in civic engagement and volunteer a lot. And I'd love to see us do more in my community, whether it's addressing homelessness by supporting charities, mental health services for people who need it, helping build more parks, more libraries, opportunities, more, you know, free educational opportunities, particularly around kids. I think doing that, but doing it local and giving back, not just in my town, but in the neighboring towns that might need it more. I think that is, you know, where I'd like to give in the next sense.
I love that. Yeah. I do too.
That's really cool. Well, thanks so much, Jared, for sharing the answers to those questions. We appreciate that. Before we end the show, would you mind sharing with our adventurous family the best way they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could find Jared Asch, A-S-C-H, on LinkedIn. And you could find Crown Capital also on LinkedIn. I think that's the best way. I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And you can check out our website, crowncapitalcorp.com. But connect with me individually on LinkedIn. I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Absolutely. And when you reach out to Jared to connect, make sure you let him know that you heard him on the Adventures of Real Estate Investor podcast, and he'll make sure to accept that connection. 100% guaranteed.
And I'll see you guys in Tahoe.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And no, please do reach out to Jared. He did mean it when he said that he like would love to answer any questions that you have, because we're all in this together, right? Like, we're all trying to achieve this goal, whether it's more time, more freedom, whatever that is. And Jared can definitely help you get there. So please reach out. And thank you again, Jared, for joining us today. It was a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Well, until next time, explore more adventure awaits.
Woo! Thank you so much for listening. Before you start your next adventure of the day, please take a moment to reflect on the impact that you want to make. All of our efforts combined are what make the monumental impacts. We can't do it without you.
Also, if you enjoyed the episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us an honest review with one of the great insights you received from the show today. And if you believe a friend, family member, or colleague would find great value in listening, please share our podcast with them. As always, your support means the world to us.
Until next time, explore more. Adventure awaits. Woo!